Meet Sven.
Yeah.
He's very excited right now. Sven doesn't play poker, but he's still very excited. You see, Sven is a dealer for Porsche, and he's just found out that PokerStars players earn $7.5 million in VIP points every month. And with our all-inclusive program, that's enough to redeem 5 of the lovely pieces of German engineering every day.
Yeah!
Keep Sven happy. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out why our rewards program seems to leave other schemes, well, out of commission. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast presented by PokerStars. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's October 15th, 2010, and you're listening to the greatest PokerCast on the internet. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long. Look at how I was gone. I was in Jamaica, and you changed the intro. No, it's the greatest podcast.
Yes. Well, you know, when the boss is away, the mice will play. So you have to make sure, you know, you stay up on these things. So I snuck that in there on you. Glad to see you're back with your cornrows and your rum. How was Jamaica?
I am happy I am back. Obviously, it was great. It was very relaxing. Got to see a very nice wedding of one of our good clients. Even actually, I got him to hold the Annie up with a bride.
Awesome.
And so that was cool. That was worth going down there for, right? You know, right off. And but you know, here's the thing. I know, Chris. I came to the realization that I am a degenerate because I get ticked off. But I go on vacation now, and I can't play poker anywhere.
Oh, man, that's sad.
Now, granted, I can play online anywhere, you know, as long as I'm not in Washington State, you know, where they have the National Guard knocking in your hotel room to make sure you're not, fornicating online. And but, you know, Jamaica, no poker down there, buddy.
Yeah, no, I know. But you know what? You have your wife, you're at a wedding, you're on the islands, you're getting bothered by natives.
Blah, 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 blah. but you know, the funny thing was that, you know, again, actually, we were down there for the wedding of our client and, you know, a big poker player, too. And the very last night, we all had dinner together, and we went to a neighboring resort, and they had blackjack and poker night.
Wow.
They literally had one little table of Texas Hold'em going on, and a bunch of people. It was like the world freaking poker tour there. I'm sure they were playing for nothing because poker's not legal. Maybe they're, you know, playing to winner gets his hair braided or something like that. And but there were like 47 people around it watching the action, and I thought that was kind of funny. But, you know, we had dinner plans, so I enjoyed my dinner at Tokyo Joe's rather than playing with the other expats there that were looking for any scrapes of poker. But that's crazy, you know. I just, you know, I don't go anywhere that I can't play poker. Not really by design. It just, that's the way it usually is.
And, yeah, poker's pretty much everywhere, and when it's not there, you take it for granted, you know.
Crazy.
Well, the day before you left, though, we you and I went to one of our local poker rooms here at Lucky's, and we're one of the sponsors and sort of hosts of the charity event that was going on there called Pro Series. And you know, I have to say that I played in this tournament, and you know what happened to me, but you're gonna hear it again. It's pretty remarkable. I don't understand, you know, the God of Deuces, but I'm starting to a little bit now. For some reason, whenever a deuce is in my hand in this tournament, I should have played it, and here's why. First hand of the night, I get deuce six. Of course I fold it, because I'm not in the blinds or nothing like that. And flop comes deuce-deuce-four. I'm like, oh, all right, whatever, you know, trips, you know, whatever. There's a lot of betting, though. And so I'm like, oh, maybe somebody else has a deuce. No, someone else didn't have a deuce because it came on the turn.
I've never folded quads in my life.
First hand of tournament, quad deuces. I'm like, what the? All right, whatever. So everybody at the table is busting my chops, you know, because I'm one of the bounties, you know. They consider us sort of celebrities, I guess. So they put a bounty on my head because they couple other celebrities didn't show up or whatever. So, you know, they're busting my chops. Then I tell them I folded deuce six, and they're just loving that. They're laughing. So, third hand of the tournament, I have queen deuce of hearts. Of course, I fold it. Flop comes deuce, deuce eight. I'm like, are you kidding me? I can't make this up. So, I'm like, all right, well, it's trips. And, of course, there's some heavy betting again. And I'm like, I would have been winning these chips. Turn, queen. Full house I would have made. This is the third hand, people. And actually, somebody got it all in with, like, jacks on that hand or kings or something. And so I would have literally had, like, three times my chip stack by that third hand. The very next hand, deuce eight. I'm like, I got to play this hand. I got to play this hand. Raise, re-raise. Oh, I'm out. Flop, deuce, deuce, six. This is... I wish I could make this up, man. Turn is an eight. Okay, now there weren't a lot of betting... wasn't a lot of betting on this, so I wouldn't have won that much. But this is three out of four hands with a deuce and with a flop trips. And no one believed me after that. I'm like, I folded deuce eight. I wanted to keep my hand to the side, but, it, you know, obviously you can't do that. It's not a home game. I couldn't believe it. So when, you know, I'm playing for a little while, I'm starting to get a decent stack. I go over to you at the break, and I'm like, Scott, you wouldn't believe this, you know. And so we're talking about it. And then, of course, Chicago Jason shows up. He was in town. That was great to see him. And yep, I'm telling him, and you guys are getting a good chuckle over it. And it was funny. I was glad Chicago Jason showed up, Scott, because during those hands, I was looking over at you to see say something to you about the hand, and you were talking to yourself. I don't know if you know this or not. I haven't really said this to you yet, but I looked over, and you're there, like, talking to yourself. And you don't have one of those, like, you know, those Bluetooth things. You're sitting there at a table by yourself talking. And I'm like, who is he talking to? And I'm like, maybe he reads emails and moves his lips. I don't know. But you were talking, and I never asked you about it. Can you recall this? You know what you were doing?
I cannot recall this, no. But, but yeah, that's going to be my best guess, is that I do, like, read my emails kind of out loud, sort of.
I don't want to bring this too far in. But after that break, I sit down, first hand back. I get what I guess used to be your favorite hand. But it was queen 10 of hearts. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to play this hand. Under the gun raises. The next guy re-raises big. I have to fold.
Right.
So the other guy calls. Flop comes jack of hearts, nine of hearts, eight of diamonds. I'd have flopped the nut straight and an open-ended straight flush draw. First guy who raised shoves. The other guy calls. He had aces. The other guy had kings. This is just insane. So during that blind structure or whatever, I actually won a couple of good hands. And there was a hand where I had king jack on the button, and it came jack high. And this guy with two diamonds, and this guy check raised all in after I had called a smallish bet. And everyone folds, and it gets to me. And I just stared the guy down. And I looked at him, and I was like, oh, my God. This guy is nervous. And I just know he has, like, queen, king of diamonds or something, and I know he's got a flush draw, and I know I'm ahead here, and I need to get a lot of chips or at least go out so Scott and I can go home, you know. And I called. I made a really good call. The guy ended up having ace, queen of diamonds, and then on the river, he hits a king for Broadway. He didn't even make his flush. So anyway, I give him some chips, and I'm short stacked, and I only bring that up because later on I have to say something about him. So, literally, for 3 hours, Scott, I did not see a pocket pair. Not for 3 hours, right? Not one pocket pair. After the second break, the first hand I get 9-5. I fold it. It comes 9-9-5.
Excellent.
After each break, Scott, I would have flopped the nuts. So yes. I'm like, this is ridiculous. So they finally break our table and move me. And at this point, you had finally gone home. Jason took you home. And I get really lucky earlier too. I had ace 10, took it as a sign, shoved, got called by ace king, and made runner nut flush to triple up. So anyway, I get moved. My first hand, after not getting a pocket pair for three hands, my first hand is 9-9. I win that pot. Then I get 3-3, and the guy on my right shoves, and I was in the small blind. He was on the button, so I knew he was just stealing. I call. He has 7-4. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm in a race with 7-4.
Four.
Right? He flops 7-4-5, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm going home. And the turn was a 6. And I'm like, and I yell out, straight, I win! Just like that. That's how I yelled it out. They're all looking at me laughing. Oh my god. So now I'm flush with chips. I pick up queens on the next hand. After not getting a pocket pair at all for 3 hours, I get back-to-back-to-back pocket pairs. I couldn't believe it. So now I'm like, oh, I got a legitimate hand. I make it 4X. Guy calls me 60% of his stack. He makes the call. He doesn't shove, right? Flop comes all under. It's like 6 high. I shove. He calls with ace-king, right? He's going broke if he doesn't pair up. Turns an ace. I'm like, I am so sick. I finally get a real hand. This guy turns an ace. I river a queen. I couldn't believe it.
My golly.
I swear to God, if I played every single hand, I swear to God, Scott, I would have had 150-1 chip lead on the field. I mean, it was ridiculous. It was like every hand I folded would have won, and every hand I played won. It was crazy. All right, so we get down to the final 10, and which everyone wants to chop because they're paying 9 spots. Uh-huh. And the guy who was one card away from going home earlier in the day that I had him just crushed is the only guy who doesn't want to chop. And he's, and he's not even remotely close to being the chip leader. Not even remotely close. So I'm like, dude, he's on my left, right? I'm like, dude, you were one card away from me knocking your ass out of this tournament. Why don't you give everybody some happiness and chop? It'll be $1,500 each. $1,500 each. And I had more chips than him at this time, so it wasn't like I was begging for a chop, but it was like 11:30, right. You know, or 11 o'clock or whatever. So he's like, no, I play to win. I'm like, dude, you have to finish between third and fourth place, which is impossible, to get $1,500. I said, you're like 10th in chips. You're like the short stack. I don't care. I play 2 satellites and then bought in. I put a lot of money into this tournament. I said, all the more reason to chop. right? He wouldn't listen to me. Everybody wanted to chop. So finally, the tournament director comes over and he's like, there's some talk at this table over here about paying the bubble. And so everyone's like, yeah, let's do that. So the guy agreed to that. He acquiesces. And I'm like, all right. So they all paid $40 to pay the bubble, which I was thinking was $400, but it's not. It's 9 spots pays 40, obviously. Right. So it was 360. So anyway, I get it all in with this guy, and the guy says, I have him out-chipped, and I get it all in with this other guy. Not the guy that was a jerk, but anyway. And he's like, oh, my God. Flop comes. I flop a set on him, and he goes, well, I need running straight cards. And what does he get? Running straight cards.
Oh, my God.
So that crushes me. On the very next hand, I have 7-7, and the same guy wakes up with jack-jack, and he flops a set.
Oh,
and
I
get knocked out in 10th and make 360.
Brutal.
So the other thing, too, was the guy who didn't want to chop gets knocked out in 8th place and makes like 550 or something.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Isn't always the way it is?
Good. But that was just a remarkable run of cards. I had to share that, man. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. And, you know, I've got a very reasonable explanation for how this all happened for you, Chris.
I can't wait to hear it.
Live poker's rigged. I'm done with that. I'm just playing online. Stuff like that never happens online. You go in the live game. You know, you can see the cards the entire time. You can see them shuffled. Yeah, no, this crazy stuff happens. Online, where you can't see anything, random number generators, nothing like that ever happens.
Well, I could understand if I was in the hands that one, but I wasn't in the hands, and it was still happening. Remarkable. Really remarkable.
Oh, man. Well, you know, hey, I hope you talk to our good buddy Antonio Pinzari on Poker Wars about not chopping, because he's on the same vein as this guy.
You know, I did.
Chop at all.
But he did say that he should have chopped in a charity event. So we did talk
really?
About it. Yeah, and he said, you know, it's a charity event. And, you know, and so, yeah, he did say chop. This is why. Because I think if you chop a charity event, people are going to give some money to the charity, and you have more options to get money to the charity.
That's a very good point.
And I thought they should have chopped. You know, I mean, yeah. I realize it's on TV like in a month or so. It's going to be actually a televised thing. So maybe they wanted to have an actual – I don't know what that would have been like. You know, well, we had a final table, but they all chopped. So,
that's true.
It would have been kind of sick in a sort of a terrible ending. But still, right? Don't you agree? I mean, charity events.
Well, yeah, but they probably could have. Normally, in that kind of situation, you leave a little on top and play it out.
Yeah.
So you at least have that for the TV audience. And maybe that didn't come up. Maybe that guy would have gone for that. But because he could still win, quote-unquote,
at
that point.
But, what a jerk.
Wow. Wow.
I'll point him out to you next time we see him.
I have a feeling I know. I usually have a pretty good jerk radar.
Well, you brought up playing online, and you were denied that last night as well.
Oh, man. I tell you, I mean, last week I was talking about my monumental. See, I wasn't even talking about it because I couldn't say it.
You're trying to say it with a Jamaican accent. That's what was going on there.
That's right, Mon. The collapse in the free wall last week.
Yeah.
And you were as chip leader or in the top five forever, and then boom, gone. Didn't win a seat. And this is how bad I was running then, because I didn't even realize that had I won a seat, I wouldn't have been able to play. I am incapable of actually reading a calendar. I think I need to go back to Cozumel, hang out with the Mayans down there. They invented the thing. Maybe they can teach me a little bit about Wednesday and what that means. And if I'm on a plane, that means I can't be playing poker. So, I realized this, fortunately, right before I had to cut off the internet in Jamaica and I unregistered myself because I actually went and bought in. And, wow, that would have been pretty crazy. But
you
got to play,
yes, I did.
In a sense, correct?
Yeah, in a sense. I was out, let's see, there's like 38 people in the tournament or something, and I was out in 30th. You know, I pushed with aces up hand or something, and guy got me with a full house. Drew two or three and got a full house. I think it was three, actually. And I can't get away from that hand. I had less than what was in the pot, and it was pot limit. And I had fun while I was playing. You know, we had a lot of fun making fun of you, saying you had your hair braided and stuff. But, I went out pretty quickly, and it wasn't a big field either. It was less than 40, so.
Yeah, I wasn't really expecting a big field for this game. We we didn't really get into the whole teaching of this. We probably should have taught some folks this game.
Yeah.
But I was greedy. I wanted to win the whole thing because I was looking forward. Turns out I couldn't even play. I'm always home for these crappy no-limit tournaments. But, the good games, five-card draw, pot limit, I'm not there. But congratulations to our good friend N. Mariana, short for Nick Mariana.
Yeah.
Won his first banana. It sounded like, from what the news reports are on the AntiochMagazine.com forum, that it was a rather tough three-handed battle. And get this, Chris, who finished second. Poker Geek MN.
Again.
I'm calling him right now. He is renamed as Susan Lucci of Apes.
Yeah,
this guy has four seconds.
You know, when Susan Lucci lost, all she had was a camera looking at her, and she got to do the clap. At least when Geek loses, he gets some money.
Yeah, that is true. That's true. And the third in that final trifecta was Anti Up King. Been playing really well in Apes too, and he's going to be on our upcoming cruise here too. So
Anti Up King was asking about you too. He's like, "Where's Scott?" And I'm like, he's on his way from Jamaica." What? He really wanted to play at this event? And I'm like, "Yeah, I know." And what are you going to do? But Scott, you want me to make matters a little worse for you here too?
Oh, please, heap on me.
Well, I consulted my spiritualist, and she told me that you would have won this banana had you played.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I have no illusions that would be incorrect. So,
when you're paying these palm readers like $35 an hour, it's important for me to ask her if you're going to win the banana or not.
Yeah, you got
to
get that stuff out. The good news for me, though, is I was down in Jamaica, so I put a voodoo hex on you for the rest of eight. So.
Yeah, there you go. It worked last night, I got to tell you. It definitely worked last night.
Colombo made the final table last night, looks like, too. So congratulations to him. And, Nick did have time to give us a ring on the hotline. So let's listen to Nick gloat a little.
Hey, Scott and Chris. This is Nick Mariana, and I'm proud to announce that I've won my first banana. It was a fun final table where Annie Up King, Poker Geek, and myself battled out for the top three spots. And I can't wait to get my hands on that nana. Hey, on a side note, I also won my first zipper last week, so I'm on a roll. WSOP, here I come.
Very good. Very nice. Hey, long time coming, right?
I've got a zipper. Do you got a zipper, Chris?
Right now, I don't. I'm pulling the Scott Long here while we're taping the show.
Oh, well, congratulations, Nick. We'll get that nanner off to you here as soon as we can. And a reminder that our next event, Saturday, October 30th at noon, No Limit Texas Hold'em. And that free roll will be Saturday, October 23rd at noon. Also, No Limit Hold'em, win 10 seats. Always on Poker Stars. Go to AntiUpMagazine.com/apes, A-I-P-S, for the password and other various information.
You know, I think we should abbreviate No Limit Hold'em as CNLHE, crappy No Limit Hold'em. That'd be kind of cool. I'm going to put that in the magazine from now on, see if anybody gets it. Well, your favorite segment of the show on our feedback here, Jeremy Ronzio. Got to love that name. That sounds like pasta, doesn't it?
You know, and I was thinking it's like the guy in Stripes. You ever call me Ronzio, I'll kill you.
That was on last night. I watched that. A little bit of it last night, yeah. So he writes and he says, what's the difference between angle shooting and Hollywooding? Listening to you guys talk about angle shooting, it sounds like they could be one and the same just to induce a bet. I have sighed hard or slumped my shoulders noticeably and even held my cards as though I wanted to fold to any bet. Just to get somebody to call. And he always thought this was considered Hollywooding or intentionally giving a false tell. But on our July 15th show, we were talking about a guy who did this or similar acts for the same reason. You said it was angle shooting and even called him a Deutsche Bank. What does this mean, that he's a Deutsche Bank? He wants to know, Scott.
Well, first I got to say, there's no real way of conveying this in an audio fashion. But one of our great listeners sent us a classified ad that Deutsche Bank is investing in the United States.
Yes.
We're going to switch our accounts from Regents to Deutsche Bank. That's awesome. But no, on this, wow, July 15th, you know, I can't remember the October 8th show.
No.
So I can't quite remember exactly what we were saying on there. But I don't believe this is what we meant.
No.
So I guess, you know, these false tells and all that's fine. It's more the taking advantage of the rules to your advantage. I guess it's kind of the taking advantage for your advantage.
That comes from the redundancy department of redundancy.
Yeah, you cannot tell that I was a journalism major.
No, exactly. I mean, you're doing things when you're Hollywooding. You're not doing anything that's borderline against rules or taking advantage of rules that, you know what I mean? You're not doing anything wrong. You're just sitting there acting or pretending to fold or whatever. It's not like you're touching them in the muck and then pulling them out of the muck or, you know what I mean? You're doing everything that's legal when you're Hollywooding. Angle shooting is totally different. It's bending the rules that are there for your safety and whatever.
Yeah, and I guess to his point, I mean, a lot, the stuff that he's talking about is not when the action's on him, I don't think. And he's not influencing the action either, as in, you know, betting out a turn or something like that. You know, if he's just there looking like a crazy guy, you know, oh, I'm scared, I'm going to fold, you know, whatever. We all do that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's
And if you're doing it intentionally, I got no problem with that because you're not messing with the rules at all.
Yeah, no, I mean, I once made my voice crack intentionally just so Pat Booth would call me in a home game.
Pork chops and applesauce, dude.
I'm all in.
But you know, angle shooting, then, you know, you take the chips across the line and then drop one in, you know, you call the floor on a technicality, that kind of stuff. And again, we could talk forever,
yeah,
on the differences here. And some, well, we think are an angle shot, some other people would say it's not, but we think it's Hollywooding, some people say no, it's an angle shot. So I mean, relax, Jeremy, you're not a DB as far as I can tell.
No, I don't think you are, buddy. I mean, you might be. But not
no, yeah, it's entirely possible.
Just absolutely. Not for those things.
Completely different reasons. But no, keep on Hollywooding there, and you know, just don't cross that line into bending the rules or taking advantage of the rules, and you'll be fine in our book.
Now, you do remember, Scott, that we have an Ante Up news desk, right? You didn't forget that while you were on your
trip. No, and the news desk was overflowing when I was in Jamaica, so I had to bump some stuff to next week.
All right, so let's see what happened this week.
Poker Stars in Belgian brick and mortar room.
Ooh.
I know, I'll pause here for Chris to get upset. Poker Stars in Belgian live poker. What do you want me to say? Well, what did we decide last week? You just want me to say poker room?
How about casino operator?
Casino operator. All right. Poker Stars, a Belgian casino operator with a poker room. Circus Group have teamed up to offer legalized online poker in Belgium, Card Player reports. The Belgian site joins Stars other partnerships in France, Italy, and Estonia. And gosh, I hope soon the United States, but yes. I don't think it's happening.
Yeah, that's cool, though. Very cool, very cool. Nick Schulman, known as the Takeover, who won a World Poker Tour event in 2005 and proceeded to blow the entire $2.1 million payday within a year, was featured on MTV's World of Jenks last week. That documentary shows Andrew Jenks walking in the shoes of different people each week.
Yeah, and we had long heard that there was going to be a poker player on the show this year, and but I never heard exactly who it was, and now we know. And wow, I totally missed it. I probably should have put the little season pass in so I could catch it, but it sounded like it was a pretty good show.
Yeah, you know, and the other thing, too, is, I mean, when you hear that, it makes it sound like this kid's broke, but, I mean, he was just in the doubles championship this week for a $50,000 buy-in, so I think he's doing all right, though. I don't think he's
during the show, I think he went out and played cash and won 36 grand on the show and stuff, so yeah, let's not cry any rivers here.
Yeah, he's doing all right.
And then finally, more television news, Chris. Deadline.com reports that the producers of Showtime's popular Weeds show are working on a poker comedy called Whales.
Awesome.
The show, expected to air on Showtime next year, will follow a group of 20-somethings who move to Vegas and try to win the World Series of Poker.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I would, you know, I might actually have to get Showtime if that's where they air it to watch that. That sounds pretty good.
Now, I don't watch The Weeds, but the wife watches it, loves it, and it's, you know, critically acclaimed, as they like to say. So yeah. It sounds like these guys are going to pull off a good show. And we really haven't had a good poker comedy show yet. I mean, so that'll be something different.
Well, unless you count Hip Hop Hold'em.
Well, that's true.
Because that was pretty damn funny.
And really not a lot of comedy movies either. I mean, The Grand was funny, and, you know, Lucky You, of course, was hilarious. But yeah, the poker and the comedy thing, it just hasn't happened yet. So I'm very excited to see this.
All right. Our hotline is 813-448-1120. If you call it and we use it, we give you something cool. This week's call comes from Chicago Brian. We had Chicago Jason on the show. Now we have Chicago Brian. Something tells me Chicago's going to come up again later on the show. I don't know.
Yeah,
I have a feeling.
Maybe.
But let's just see what he has to say.
Hello, this is Chicago Brian. I was just calling because I ran across PokerTableRatings.com. I found that they had a lot of information. I did a search for my own screen name, and they had exactly to the dollar the amount I've won over the last year at online tables. The amount of information was sick. They had pretty much everything you would find at Poker Tracker, Hold'em Manager. I was wondering where they got that information and if the people supplying that to them are breaking their terms of service. I imagine they purchasing it from my opponents. I don't know. I'm going to use it to play my opponents, but I'm a little concerned that they have all that info on me. Anyhow, great show. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you later.
Well, here's the thing, Brian. I have absolutely no idea.
Neither do I.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that, Chris, you don't have an idea either.
No clue. Right?
But fortunately, we have somebody in the Anti-App Nation that does, and that's our very intelligent online columnist, John Lanier. And he's ranked in Raz now, correct?
Last we heard, he was like 11th in the world.
That's amazing.
According to Full Tilt.
Now, of course, it's Raz, so there's only 13 people in the world. But still, John, we'll give you props.
Yeah, still, that's amazing.
But, you know, he writes a great online column, and he always has this information. He knows who's who online and how much they've won and stuff. I really don't know how all that happens. And this is the same thing. So I passed it off to him, and this is what John wrote back to us. He said, Poker Table Rankings tracks cash games. And he says the prevailing theory is that they use multiple shadow accounts and observe all tables collecting and processing data at near real time. If they're doing this, then I would agree that they are violating terms of service. And then he gives a little explanation from the Poker Table Rankings folks themselves. And all kinds of numbers and stuff that I can't even equate. But it comes down to the bottom line. They get 95% of the hands on all the biggest sites. And are constantly trying to improve their coverage. So I guess we really don't know. But
I still don't think we know after hearing all that. I still don't know what any of that means.
No, but we have more theories, and that's what people really want. They really don't want the information. They just want conspiracy theories.
Yeah, they just want Mel Gibson running around.
Trying to solve the Pelican Brief.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, that's the thing, though, is I just don't understand even what that means. Like, I understand, kind of, but what does that mean, shadow accounts? Does that mean, like, people are actually sitting down at the tables that aren't really... No, so what does that mean? I don't get it.
That's a very good question. That's
I really don't understand.
Though I heard, too, this week that the Stars did a big sweep of bots, too, and got rid of a bunch of bots.
Oh, good.
You know, people don't want to play against bots, right?
No. Absolutely not.
Bots are much smarter than us.
Well,
and I'm already at a weakness.
I was going to say Faso was a bot, but now that you said that, I can't.
All right, Brian, we appreciate you calling in to the hotline, and I hope you enjoy that very coherent answer that answers all your questions. And, of course, you're a previous swag winner, so no swag for you. But, folks, call the hotline again. That number is 813-448-1120, and we'll send you a wonderful prize like a deck of J-Design playing cards from ClassicPlayingCards.com. They are the official cards of Ante Up.
They are the official cards of Ante Up, and I play with them on Friday. They're awesome.
Yep. Excellent.
Yep. All right, it's mailbag time, Scott. You're up. You're up the plate, man. Get there.
All right. It comes from Jordan Henkel in Milwaukee. I'll be there in a couple days, flying up there for the Packers game.
Good God, man. Do you ever spend any time in Safety Harbor anymore?
No, actually, I'm putting the house in the market. I'm just going to buy one of those pods, portable storage units, and just set up the TV in there and the computer and a little piss pod or something like that. And that's really all I need because I'm on the road the rest of the time.
Very nice.
And I'm excited that the one time I get to see the Packers this year, I get to see their JV team. I mean, seriously, are there any Packers left that aren't half dead? What a brutal year. But I'm sure Jordan feels the same way, being from Milwaukee. But he wrote in, and he's responding to when we talked about charity tournaments, and he wanted us to give him an idea of how an average Joe like himself could host a charity poker tournament. He's training and fundraising for the Vegas Half Marathon in December. Congratulations to you, Jordan. Good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck.
And I would love to host a charity poker tournament to help raise some of my funds. How much of the prize pool, if not 100%, should go to my cause to still be able to attract a good number of participants? As he understands, it's not legal to run a poker tournament the way I intend to, but I just don't see giving out prizes that aren't cash as a way to draw poker players to my event.
Well, that's a good question. You know, we play in a lot of charity events, but we don't actually run very many. But you know a lot about it. I know there's a certain form you have to apply for if you want to do it legally, and I think it's 50%, right? Isn't it 50%?
Well, it depends on, like everything in poker, it depends on what state you live in. It depends on what little county you live in that state. So
right. What
I tell people is there's usually some kind of statewide government organization that weighs in on charity events. So that's your first stop. Check out that. Get all the rules and regulations there. And then you're smart to go to your local law enforcement and say, hey, I went. I think I'm doing this by the letter of the law. This is what I want to do. Can you please just verify it? Because I don't want no 5-0 busting out my game. And that's the best way to do it. Now, what I tell people, even the easier way, particularly if you live in an area like Milwaukee, where there are real casinos, is to go to one of them and tell the manager, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to donate some money to charity. Do you mind running the event here? I will help promote it and get folks in. But that way, you're above board for the most part, you know, because the poker room can take care of all the charity work. They do that all the time.
Yeah, and the smart thing about that as well is not just all those things you just mentioned, but the fact that you might get other people to your tournament that you never would have had a chance to get.
Sure,
had you done it on your own in like a Hyatt or Marriott or something, you know what I mean? So these guys might show up one day and say, hey, I want to play in a tournament. And then they say, well, we got a charity event going on. And they're like, all right, I'll play in it. So, you know, that happens a lot too. It happened with our Tampa Bay Downs event recently. You know, guys were playing in it because it was the daily tournament and they wanted to play. So that's another added reason to do it.
How much of the prize pool? That's really a personal decision. I mean, obviously, the more money that goes back to the prize pool, the more likely you are to get people to show up, but less. Maybe less likely the money that you're going to raise, which is the whole idea for doing it. You know, what I found is if people really care about the charity, they know what they're getting themselves into. So as long as you're disclosing that up front, you're probably all right. You know, the more money you want to take for the charity, probably the more promotion you need to do to get your buddies in there that don't care, because you're going to get fewer of the average Joes.
And make it a rebuy tournament.
Absolutely.
You keep all the rebuys.
Yeah. No, in fact, that's what rebuy tournaments, a lot of them do. You know, the first initial buy-in goes to the casino rake and to the prize pool, and then all the rebuys are where you make your charity money. So, and obviously make the rebuys something that you want to do. You know, a lot of chips or, you know, cheap enough that people aren't going to leave. Yeah. They're going to do it. So.
Absolutely.
That's good. And then this final point, too, is, yeah, I mean, if you're asking people to buy in for a tournament and you're not giving away any prize money, you're just giving away pizza coupons.
Yeah.
Not going to get so many people. However, a lot of people have success going to companies and say, hey, I'm doing this charity thing. If you want to give me some cash towards it, that would be great. But if not, you know, do you want to throw in some prizes? You can find some companies that are willing to do that, and you just add that to the prize pool, and that that kind of helps for a lot of people.
Absolutely. People love to donate stuff, as long as you're mentioning, you know, who donated and whatever. You know, they have tons of extra stuff in their inventory or whatever. People love to donate prizes for stuff like that. At least they can write it off, and you'd be surprised how many people actually will give you things to give away.
Absolutely.
Tell them what he won, Johnny!
All right, Jordan, we appreciate you emailing in, and I'm going to give you the starting quarterback role at this week's Packers game, since we don't have one. So get there early, suit up, and if they don't let you in the Lambeau Field, we will give you a free download of PokerHam Breakdown Pro, a hand history analysis program for single Olympics games from element26.net. I would probably count on that swag. The first thing's probably not going to happen.
Well, here Aaron Rodgers might actually play.
Sure. Well, we'll see. But we won't have anybody to throw to.
That's true, too.
Nice tight end of the year.
So you want our friend Jordan to get tackled and crushed, then, is what you're saying.
Well, exactly. I mean, hey, if I'm going to Lambeau Field and I'm not seeing Aaron Rodgers, I want to see some blood on the field, right?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Just a reminder that element26.net has that special going on now, $8.95. Get over to their website, download that great product.
Well, last week we began our new ride-along with Columbo. So it was the beginning of a tournament. So what we're going to do this time around, because obviously we really can't remember what happened last time. So this time with the ride-along, we're going to rehash what happened and give our opinions on what to do. And then we're going to hear what's going on and hear part two. So we had, 2,500 of our starting stack of 3,000. And it folds around to us in the cutoff. And we raised 3x with the Cosenza Ace 10.
First mistake.
Yeah, it was the first mistake right there, obviously. Both blinds called, and we see a flop of 10 of spades, 9 of diamonds, 4 of spades. And, hello, the small blind bets 400 into us. The big blind folds. And now it's on to us. Do we want to bet, and why?
Oh, boy. All right, here's my dilemma here. Is I want to get pot committed with top. This early in the tournament.
Okay.
We're at level one, right?
Yeah.
And, but at the same time, you know, I want to maintain control. I don't want to be, you know, weak here. Mm. Wish I had a better word for weak. We need to come up with.
How about Scott?
I don't want to be a wounded gazelle. That's better than Scott. Thanks, buddy. All right. Obviously, on the show, if you've listened, I'm not a big fan of min raises, but in this situation, with our chip stack and everything, I'm going to say that's our best plan. If we get re-raised, we can easily lay it down, still have 1,400 or so in chips. If we get called, it'll hopefully slow down our opponent. Maybe he'll check on the turn, and then we can decide whether we want to check behind, control the size of the pot, or shove all in at that point. If we raise any more than the min to me, I'm thinking we're getting pretty close to committing. And level one, top, that's just not a hand I want to go broke with.
I definitely don't want to go broke with this hand, but I don't think I'm raising either. I think I'll wait till the turn to see if this guy's really serious, and then also I think if another spade comes, I can easily get away from the hand. Right now I can't fold this bet, but I can't really see any, to me at least, I saw you explaining it, but to me I don't see a benefit in min-raising or raising, because I'm committing my whole stack if I raise what I want to raise, which would be 1,200.
That's true.
And if I min raise, I feel like this guy's got Jack 10 of spades or Jack Queen of spades. you know, he's got two overs, an open-ended draw, and a flush draw. You know, I mean, he's clearly got the odds to call. If anything, he's already a favorite anyway. So I think I would just call and see what happens on the turn. If something higher than a 10 comes, I can get away from it. If a spade comes, I can get away from it. And then if he just checks, he's given up control to me, and then I will bet out. So I think I'm just going to call and see what happens.
Hmm. All right. I could probably get behind that, I guess. I guess my worry is if you if no scare card comes, you have to bet. What happens if he bets into you at that point?
Well, I think at that point he's not – I don't think at that point he's bluffing, and it's going to be enough. You got to figure there's 800 in the pot from those two bets or those bets earlier plus the raises. So at that point he's probably going to bet – I don't know what his stack is. That's the problem. But he's probably going to bet enough that it's going to cripple me anyway, so I can get away from it then if I have to. I just think that at this point, a min-raise is not going to do anything. He's not going to fold to a min-raise, especially if he is on a draw. So I might as well save that money and see what happens on the turn.
Hmm. You don't think it might induce a check on the turn?
Definitely not, especially if he hits his hand. I mean, if he hits his hand...
Or induce him to re-raise us? I mean, that would be good enough information for me, too.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess my problem with calling is then we just – it's a slow bleed at that point.
Yeah.
You know, and what if we call, no scared card comes on the turn, but he bets out another third pot or half pot kind of bet? What do you do at that point?
Well, you know –
you're going to fold now? You're just going to give away those 400 chips?
Well, if it's like a deuce of diamonds or something, you know, maybe I do just call or raise there. But I think on the flop, I definitely won't min raise. That just does nothing to me. But I don't think he's going to re-raise us with a min raise. He would call, and then if he has a great hand, he would just call, you know, and then hit you on the turn. So I don't know. And if he does check, and let's say he calls you and then he checks, you're thinking you're going to check behind on the turn, because then you're giving him infinite odds to hit his draw on the river. And if you bet, then he check raises you, so you're screwed anyway on the turn, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess we both are in the like mind that wherever this turn card comes will define our action. But,
yeah.
If I could check behind, I mean, he may check behind. He may check on the turn, too. I mean, at least I'm not committing as much chips. I mean, this is what's really rough about this hand is – you know, I'm looking for how not to go broke here. Mm. And if I was stronger, I would feel more confident. But, you know, I don't know. I think we can agree this is a brutal situation to
absolutely.
Be in, isn't it?
Yeah, it's such a wet board, as the kids like to say now. You know, I mean, two spades, two to a very nice straight, you know, which is the type of cards that people call raises with, or queen jack and... Jack 10 even, you know, which you're trailing to, but, you know, it could be two spades. It could be anything. So I totally agree. I think it's I just can't raise here without raising the what I want to raise. I don't know if I would shove. It's so early in the tournament I want to play. You know, I don't want to go broke this early. But at the same time, I don't want to commit any more chips than I have to. So I'm happy with calling and then seeing what happens.
All right, well, we're just getting warmed up on the forum with the ride-along. You know, people are getting used to it. It's been one mystery for a while. So we had one post on it, and that was to call and put some money in on a non-spade turn. So sounds very in line with what you would like to do.
Yeah, not that that's right, but it's just what I feel, you know. I mean, you know, you got the Cosenza. You know, only one person can play that.
Well, here's the thing. There's no right or wrong in this. I mean, obviously, folding is probably wrong.
Right. Yeah, folding is wrong.
But even that, I guess. I mean, it's not completely wrong. I mean, so there's no right or wrong here. There's just do or die.
All right, well, let's ride along a little further with Columbo.
Welcome back. To be honest, when stacks are not very deep and a flop comes with this weak of a board, I can't put anybody on 4-9 off. And if I make a big bet here, a 10 with a lesser kicker might do something stupid to boot. Because it's early, I'm just going to shove here and take a 2-1 race from a spade draw if that's what he's got. I push my 2250 in, and he goes into the tank. Now I'm pretty sure he has two spades or a 10.
I'm not afraid, sir.
He eventually folds, and we pick up 1900 in chips, significantly increasing our stack. Now, later in this level, this player will do the same thing right back at me and shove me off what turned out to be a small pair on the river. We're at the 5100 level now, and we simply limp with 3-3 in early position. Surprisingly, it folds all the way around to the big blind who checks, and when the flop comes 6 of clubs, 3 of clubs, 4 of hearts, he bets 200. Interesting bet, to say the least. Do you want to raise here, or wait to the turn?
Remember, Sven, our friendly Poker Stars Porsche dealer? Sven's still very excited.
Yeah!
He already knows that Poker Stars players together earn enough VIP points to redeem 5 Porsches every day. What's made him a little more excited is the fact that 5 of our Poker Stars players have already claimed these lovely pieces of German engineering. Keep Sven happy. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out why our rewards program seems to have left all the other schemes, well, stuck in neutral. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
Well, you know, for any up, Scott, having 3 players from Florida at the November 9 is a pretty big deal, don't you think?
It is actually amazing. What's even more amazing is last year when we were Florida's Poker Magazine, this didn't happen.
I know. That's exactly it.
We're getting greedy. We got 1 last year, so that's good. But, I mean, this would have been even bigger for us last year. Now we've kind of branched out a little bit. But, you know, we still live in Florida. We're still based here. So
that's right. I mean,
excited that.
I mean, we did expand to pretty much every state east of the Mississippi now. But, you know, it just feels so good. I mean, one of these players, John Reisner, is one of our friends. You know what I mean? We've played with him. We've chatted with him. We've been in the same room with him a lot. You know, we talked to him. He's won our patch before. So it's just a special November 9 this year. And so, you know, I decided for the magazine, even though it's the November 9, that really these 3 guys, that's really the story for us. So I decided to ask them all the same questions. I wanted to use a uniform sort of interview just to see how they would, you know, stack up against one another. And so when I interviewed them, I took all 3 interviews and I put them in the order of their stack sizes.
Oh, very interesting.
So John Dolan from Bonita Springs actually was a dealer at one of our smaller kennel clubs up north. North of the state. He's 2nd in chips overall, so he's going to go first. And then the interview after that will be our friend John Reisner. He's from Tampa. And then, of course, Grinder, our World Series Player of the Year. And the funny thing is, the interview kicks off with Dolan, and I actually woke him up, and it was around noon. And I felt so bad.
Gotta love it.
I feel so bad. But here we go. So can you tell me, other than me waking you up, what's life been like, you know, after this final table you made?
It's been pretty awesome. I pretty much just traveled Europe and stuff, played a bunch of live tourneys, and, you know, just gone out, had fun, and seen some old friends or talked to some old friends I haven't, you know, seen or heard from in a while, just because of TV coverage and stuff.
Right. Yeah. Let me ask you now, during that main event run, at what point were you thinking to yourself, you know, oh my God, I'm going to make the November 9 or I can make the November 9?
Probably with like 100 left.
With 100 left. What was there any significant hand or anything in that moment that happened, or just when you realized, wow, we're down to 100?
Yeah, it's like, wow, okay, this is actually possible. Like, even with like 400 or 500 left, you're like, okay, this is still like, you know, a normal tournament or whatever. You know, it's still so many people left. Can't expect anything at that point. I guess with 100 left, you start to feel like, wow, 10 tables, you know, and the room's like, you know, all the tables have disappeared. It's a really cool feeling.
Wow. Now, you told me that a lot of your old friends are coming back to talk to you. What has been the reaction of them and your family and even maybe the media as well?
Well, my family's been awesome. They're, you know, ecstatic and really happy for me. Old friends, it's just like, I mean, they're just, you know, they just think it's like the cool, you know, the coolest thing ever, I guess. I mean, just, you know, to like see me on TV or whatever. yeah, I mean, that's the gist of it pretty much. Like, but my family's been awesome.
Now, the cover story this month is about the fact that, you know, 3 of our Florida players, you know, are at the final table representing 1/3 of everyone there. And I asked the other two guys what they thought of the other two Florida players, and when I came to you, they said that really didn't have much experience playing with you. So can you tell me what you think of Michael the Grinder Mizrachi first, and then I'll ask you about John?
Yeah, sure. Obviously, Michael's like the most accomplished live player of anyone, by far at the final table. He's obviously doing stuff right. He's had pretty much the biggest summer out of anyone. And, I obviously respect his game a ton. And, it's nice to have him not with as many chips, to be honest.
Right. Now, how about Reisner? Have you encountered any – I guess you guys played a little earlier in the tournament together. What do you think of him and his game?
Yeah, John's really good, actually, I think. He plays like a little different than what I would expect like another 24-year-old to play. Like, it's not all, I guess, from what I would expect like an internet person to play. Like, I play a bunch on the internet, so. But he plays a lot of live poker and like kind of came up, in both. So plays a little different than like I would in spots probably, but I know he's more than capable and he's probably one of the toughest at the table, to be honest.
Okay. What do you think it says about Florida poker having the three of you guys at this final table? This has never happened before.
Yeah, I don't know what it says specifically because, to be honest, with the exception of, like, home games and the internet, there wasn't really anywhere to play in Florida before that, but... Yeah, something about it, because there's so many good players from Florida. Like, I mean, so many kids, like, internet kids. Like, it could definitely arguably be, like, the best state.
Awesome. Well, let me ask you, you talked about you traveled a lot and you're playing over in Europe and stuff. What else have you done, or have you done anything specific to prepare for this November 9?
No, I really haven't. I've talked to few of my closest poker friends just about like different spots and just like what I what we think people will be doing in certain spots, and that's the extent of it. I really don't think there's I'll watch the coverage and see if I can get anything off of it, but besides that, like, I really haven't done much. Like I said, just talk to friends and watch the coverage.
Now, if you win at all, what's the first thing you're gonna buy?
Probably a house.
A house in Florida?
Yeah, somewhere in Florida.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, now, what do you think life will be like when you are world champion?
With the exception of, like, probably traveling and playing more live poker, like, than I, have in the past. I really don't expect much to change, to be honest. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't really change anything about, like, the way I live or whatever. So, okay. I mean, that's just me. I just can, like, yeah, obviously I'll be able to live comfortably and won't have to worry about things. But, I wouldn't change anything about really the way I live. I wouldn't have to play poker as much,
But besides that,
it wouldn't change. I wouldn't change anything I, like, did all the time or anything like that.
So tell me what life's been like after making this final table.
Well, pretty amazing. I mean, obviously, about all the interviews and a lot of people congratulate me, send me, like, funny Facebook private messages and chats and text messages from people, stuff like that. People come up to me when I'm out at night, or even when I'm at the pool laying out, people come up to me. A bunch of cool different stuff like that, but, It's what I dreamed about, so I like it.
Now, you've had success before. You've won a circuit event, that kind of thing. But really, at what point in this main event did you think, oh, my God, I'm going to make the November 9, or I can make November 9?
When there was about 100 people left and I won that big hand, Queens versus Aces, that they showed on ESPN last Tuesday.
Right.
That put in, like, top three with, like, 100 left. Like, I knew then, like, I had a really good shot. And then once I first thought about the November 9 when we were 27 left, went into that last day, 27 left.
Right.
Top 3, 2, 1. I might have even been top. I don't know. But I knew then that I had like a really, really, really good chance at that was most likely going to happen.
Man, so really, what's been the reaction of your family and friends? And have any long lost relatives like come out of the woodwork saying, "Hey, John, remember me?"
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, my mom and sister are extremely happy. My closest friends are really happy about it. You know, we've been talking about it, you know, 24/7. As for like people coming out of the woodworks, of course, like that always happens.
Yeah.
I actually had a really funny private message on Facebook. Some older looking guy, he looks like Santa Claus, private messaged me saying that he used to be good friends with my dad, who my dad passed away about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And saying how, like, I don't know, like if you need assistance or help with the money or something like that, you know, some crazy far-fetched like that. And, you know, I just laugh about it and just kind of move on. I obviously didn't reply.
Well, you know, the other thing that I want to talk about is the Florida players. You've played with the Grinder before. What do you think of his game?
I think his game's amazing. I mean, like, when I first started traveling around when I was 21, I played with him for the first time at the Wynn Classic. And we played almost the whole tournament together. We got a lot of big hands together, a lot of interesting hands. That's when we became close friends then. And, you know, when I came back from that trip, I told all my closest buddies and my poker buddies, I was like, I think Grinder's the best player that I've played with so far in my life. You know, I just thought his game was just amazing. Like, just the things he does, like, I thought was really unique. And then I kind of actually started mimicking my game after that. Wow, after him on that, yeah.
Okay, so what about John Dolan? He's been on the circuit for a little while. Have you played with him before?
No, I've never played with him, and I didn't really know too much about him until we were 27. I think when we were 27-handed, okay, he started the day to my immediate right, and you know that was when we first like said what's up and started talking. And I mean, he only had like 2 or 3 million chips then, and I get that was the day he went on his big run.
Right. So what do you think it says about Florida Poker having three of its players at the final table, making up really a third of the field now?
I do find it really interesting. I really think that poker is really competitive in Florida between Tampa and Miami. I mean, there's always a lot of home games going on. And I mean, now that they have the casinos and stuff, I think the players in Florida might be some of the best players in the U.S.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, have you done anything or will you do anything to prepare for this November 9?
I mean, I went to the Full Tilt Poker Classic in Greece. I mean, just to keep my game sharp, I played there. And then, I went to the WSOPE and the EPT.
Right.
So I played those just to keep my game sharp and stuff like that, which I did well on those trips. And now that I just got back home a couple days ago, I'll be watching a lot of the replays of the videos on ESPN.
Right.
I've been having them recorded and stuff, and just look into like certain hands when these players are in big hands, see what they're doing, like when they're bluffing or not, and just so I can know what to expect in certain situations when it comes up at the final table.
Are you like tapping into your other resources, like your fellow pros that may have come against some of these guys, or?
You know what? Actually, one of my fellow pro friends actually came up to me when I was at WSOPE, and he said, because we were at the same table in the main event,
right,
and he said, I watched you very closely. He goes, I think I have a tell on you. And so we had dinner one night, and you know, he was telling me what he thought was going on and stuff like that. So that's kind of like something that will help me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, so that was really neat that came up. As for what did you ask?
No, I just wondered if there were just pros that were, you know, because I remember the first time they had the November 9, you know, I talked to Chino, and he said that he was going to the Grinder and in his, you know, the Mizrakis and asking them what their experiences were. And I just wondered if you were doing the same thing, if you were just going to your friends and saying, hey, have you heard of this guy? What's he like? And that kind of thing.
I think that's what this next month will all be about, this next 3 or 4 weeks I have before.
Okay.
Because this is like my main preparation time. Like before then I was kind of just playing, you know, I was traveling around, still doing my normal thing. But now is when I'm not going to be traveling, just going to be sitting down doing all this kind of stuff. Like I'll look them up online, see what kind of tournaments they've done well in the past. You know, if they play other games besides Nolan Holdmore, if they're just strictly no limit players, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
It's funny you mentioned Chino, though, because that's who I basically hung out the whole time in London, Chino and Griner and his other brothers. That's who I hung out with, like, 24/7. That's funny.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
All right, so when you win it all, what's the first thing you're going to buy?
When I win it all, first thing I'm going to buy is the only thing that I really, really want that I don't have is a big house.
Oh, that's cool.
I would like to buy a nice 4 or 5 bedroom house, possibly on the water, get some jet skis, maybe a boat, and then I think I'll have everything I want.
Now,
as far as
you mean
everything,
it'll be in Florida, right?
Yeah, I do want it to be somewhere. I want it to be somewhere right around here in Tampa, Florida. Like, I like it here. All my closest friends here. You know, my mom lives here.
Right.
So I don't know. I like the atmosphere around here. I don't think I'd be happy anywhere else as happy.
That's cool. So what do you think life will be like for you if you're world champion?
Well, I've kind of already got a gist of that, like, a little bit when I was in London. I had people come up to me on break wanting to take pictures and sign autographs and stuff. I think if I'm champion, it's going to be like that, like, all the time. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Not just some trips or on some breaks. I feel like it'll be like that, like, 24/7, especially when I'm traveling on tour. You know what I mean? Because everyone knows who the champion is, even if they're, like, not a full-time poker player. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Are you prepared for that?
Yes, I mean, I feel like I carry myself really well, and I've felt like I've already dealt with it. People already act like around here that I'm champion.
Yeah.
Stuff to me and congratulate me and all this stuff. It already feels like it. So, I mean, it'll just be amazing afterwards.
I saw a photo of you with Governor Crist. What was that like?
Oh, that was awesome. I have a couple good buddies. My buddy Jeff. He, the one who you contacted to get in touch with me today.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he has a couple good connections, and I forgot his name.
That's all right. It doesn't matter. Anyways, what's important is how it was to be with Chris, really. So that's okay.
Oh, it was really cool being there. Like, you know, they had the Secret Service there and everything. And
yeah.
I went out and bought a nice, like, dress suit that day, just so I could. I look nice there because they told me to dress nice, you know, a nice collared shirt tucked in with slacks and nice shoes and blah, blah, blah. So I went and did that all. And then I got there and everyone was really dry. I was the youngest person there by far.
Oh my God.
Like, I mean, I think the next youngest person was maybe like 40 or 50. And then everyone else was like way older, but it was really cool. You know, he came in, I got to talk to him for maybe like a full minute, you know, got to take a couple pictures with him, everything. He said he heard about my success. Congratulations. Good luck. All that, and it was really cool just getting to meet other people there too, like big time lawyers and doctors, you know, that, you know, just cool connections like that I was able to meet, and they thought my story was just fascinating. Like they said they heard about stuff, like a couple of them already heard about it, you know. Oh, that's you, yeah, I remember you, I read about you, blah blah blah.
Jeez.
And yeah, they thought it was really cool, and then, you know, I of course they want to tell me their a couple of their poker hands or when they go to the hard box, or I just kind of just nod and act like I'm listening, but, you know, I get that all the time.
I'm falling asleep.
So tell me what life has been like after making this final table.
Well, after making the final table, I've been traveling like crazy. I went to Full Tilt Tournament in Cyprus. I played, like, the high rollers. I played the main event. And then after Cyprus, you know, I was playing a lot of water polo in Cyprus. Got dark, you know, started getting in shape to swimming a lot, but then that didn't work out too well. I put on weight when I wanted to lose weight before the meeting, but I started the gym today, actually. And after Cyprus, I headed to Israel to see some of my family.
Right.
We went to the Western Wall, prayed a little bit, as you know what I wish for, to
right.
Figure that out. And, From there, we went to Romania for a day and a half and played some cards there. And then I went to France and then back to Miami. Then I head back to London. And I went to play the two poker tournament in France,
right.
In Cannes. And from there, I went back to Miami to celebrate my son's birthday. My son Paul, he turned 6 years old. And then from Florida, I went back to New York to a wedding, my cousin's wedding, and I headed to ESPN Studios to to some interviews and some and the show for Inside Deal.
Right.
And I'm heading back to London tonight for I'm heading back to London tonight to play the Full Tilt Invitational list. So Full Tilt tournaments at 10,000 High Rollers.
Oh my God. You're really chalking up the miles.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, at what point during this main event did you think, you know, oh my God, I think I can make this November 9?
When it was the end of day, I was in day 7, going to day 7. I was, I believe, second. I might have been second in chips with 2.5 million. And I thought, or was it 7.5 million, I believe?
Wow.
Not sure, 7.5 maybe, or... And I felt like, you know, no one's going to stop me now. I'm a second of chips, and I feel like I have a big advantage. Just the fact that I've experienced, I have so much more experience than everyone else. And I played a lot more situations, and I felt like if I play well, play my game, I'll get down. I'll get there. I'll make it to November 9, and fortunately I did.
So what's been the reaction of your family and friends and even the media?
Well, the media has been, like, you know, crazy. They've been doing an average of 2 interviews per day.
Jeez.
I would say the first month and a half, it's been hectic. A lot of phone calls. And it's slowed down a little bit for next month. And a lot of my friends are excited, and everybody wants to go. But hopefully I can supply everybody with hope I can get enough tickets to, you know, to get everybody out there. But you're limited to a certain amount. And, and at this point, I'm hoping to get everybody who I can, my immediate family and friends and some fans, but it's going to be tough, and I hope I get more tickets. And it's just I don't want to handle that part because it would stress me out.
Yeah.
So I try to have Lily do some of that part.
Any, like, long-lost relatives coming out of the woodwork now and say, hey, Grinder, you know?
Yeah, well, you get a lot of people, like, take me or, you know, a lot of people. Like, you know, I met a lot of new people, and... you know, of course, that's what happens. You know, what comes along, fame comes along. You know, more friends, more people you meet, and I met a lot of great people, and I've enjoyed the last three, four months. I mean, it's been a lot of fun, and I've been entertained.
So now you've played with John Reisner. What do you think of his game?
Oh, I played with John Reisner the last three, four years.
Right.
I would say sometimes he mixes it up really well, and he's, I would say he's more like, I wouldn't say loose aggressive, but he's aggressive, and he likes to play positive position.
How about John Dolan? Have you mixed it up with him before?
Nah, not really. I've seen, like, I heard he's really, really good, and he plays great poker, and yeah, he knows how to get chips, that's for sure.
Well, what do you think about the fact that, you know, these Florida players, you and those two guys, have made this final table like this? I mean, you guys make up a third of the table.
Well, we are the Sunshine State, and I have to do the fact that we have the beaches, a great lifestyle, and I think Florida's come out with poker players, and there's a limited amount, and I would say, you know, that are great, and there's a lot of good players.
Right.
But Florida's got talent now, and we have high stakes, And I don't know, maybe they got them as Rocky blood. Who knows?
Hey, so what will you do, or what have you done to prepare for this November 9? Are you doing anything different, or are you just playing a ton of poker and that's all you're going to do?
No, I haven't done anything really to prepare. All I've been doing is a lot of traveling back and forth to Europe.
Right.
And I'm actually doing a class for Deep Stack Live in Calder Racecourse on the 27th of October.
Right.
But there hasn't been much preparation. I just saw... just a lot of traveling, and that's pretty much it, and doing a lot of interviews. I just got to play. When I get down to the final table, I'm just going to make my adjustments, and hopefully I could take it down.
Now, if you do take it down, what's the first thing you're going to buy?
I do take it down. I don't know yet. We'll still decide. Maybe a nice car, but I don't know.
The last question is, what do you think life's going to be like when you do become world champion?
If I do become world champion, my lifestyle will still stay the same. And, I mean, I'll be the number one tournament earner in the world and all-time winnings. And I think I'm just going to just enjoy myself and maybe, you know, take it easy, not play as much poker as I did in the past. I will play a lot. I'll still be at my full-time job. But I'm going to take a nice
nice long vacation, and I just enjoyed myself.
Hey, this is AJ Benzing.
This is Justin Bonomo.
This is Downtown Chad Brown.
Hi, this is Clooney Gallen.
This is Daniel Negreanu.
Hey, this is David Singer.
This is Linda Johnson.
Hi, this is Greg Raymer.
Hi, this is Hoyt Corkins.
Hi, this is Cindy Violet.
Hi, this is John D'Agostino.
This is Joe Seabach.
This is Jennifer Harmon.
Yeah, this is Johnny Chan.
This is Cowboy Kenna James.
Hi, this is Mark Safe. This is Paul Wasikin.
Hi, this is Miami Johnson.
This is Noah Brunson, and you're listening to Annie Up.
Well, we had Chicago Brian, right?
Yes, we did.
We had Chicago, who else?
Jason.
Jason, that's right. And now we've got Mike from Chicago. He apparently is a transplant.
Oh, okay, so he's not Chicago Mike.
Well, because he called himself Mike in Chicago, and anybody who lives in Chicago knows that Chicago goes before your name. So even though there's already another Chicago Mike there, maybe it's the same one. I don't know. We have no last names here. Mike in Chicago, I'm sorry, buddy. We're going to call you Chicago Mike. For this hand of the week. Just the way they roll there.
I'm
go
excited.
Get yourself a hot beef sandwich. Or a
go to what? Gino's East.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Get some pizza.
All right, so 1-2 No Limit live game.
Yeah, my favorite.
Crappy No Limit. 1-2. And our hero has been at the table for about 2 hours. He had bought in for 150 and managed to grow his stack to about 400. Never done that myself.
You ever notice how everyone who calls in always manages to grow their stack? I've never had anyone say, I've been felted 6 times, I've rebought for 10, and now I'm down a grand, and I'm looking at ace-ace here. You know, it never happens. They've always you know, got this great stack to start, and come on, people, admit it. You were felted twice, Mike.
Ah, see, I thought you were going to say the opposite, that that they're a little weaker. I managed to grow my stack, rather than saying, oh, yeah, booyah. I turned that 150 into 400, biatch. But no, you took it the other way. So, all right.
Well, you know me, I'm the pessimist of this duo.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. All right. Well, he's got to stack to 400 regardless of how he did it.
Okay.
And most of the table has been playing loose, check calling all the way to the river, and then folding the big bets if draws don't complete. I kind of like the aggressive calling stations there.
Yeah.
When hands do come to showdowns, most players have turned over to the third or fourth best hands. Begin to like this tip a lot more.
Wow.
Our hero's been bluffing like crazy, raising with marginal hands pre-flop, betting the flop and turn, then pushing hard on the river. And he'd say about 80% of the time people have been folding on the river to him. And when he does have to show his cards, he's usually winning with a high pair. So everything's going right for this guy.
Yeah, man. No wonder why he grew his stack to 400.
And now he's on the button. Wow, geez. He's even got position now.
Wow, and he's, his diamond shoes are sparkling, and his wallet is overflowing with 50s.
Yeah, probably got the cocktail waitress coming over, giving him Johnny Walker Black, actually knowing what that is.
Flirting with him, everything.
And then saying, no, honey, I don't need a tip. Just being in your presence today is tip enough for me. I'm sure all that's going on.
Massage therapist rubbing him and not charging him.
Right, exactly. Absolutely. All right, so the... action folds to the hijack who limps. Cutoff also limps, so we have two limpers, and we look down at 6 of diamonds, 7 of diamonds. With all this great information that Chicago Mike sends us, what are we going to do?
Well, I'll limp. I'm in position with suited connectors. I'll limp. I'm not going to raise. I mean, that's what, you know, if we had Lee Childs on the show today, he would say, suited connectors, you want to play him in position and you want to have the right odds. Well, he's got the right odds to play him now. So, I mean, I know you probably would min-raise because you're a limit.
No, actually, I'm totally on board with you. There's no advantage to raising here. It's a loose table. You know, why build a pot with a speculative hand when if you hit it, somebody's probably going to do the betting for you and you can really abuse them?
Right.
I'm quite happy just throwing my $2 in here and hope the blinds come along, and then I flop big here.
Just remember the old Doyle Brunson adage, don't go broke in an unraised pot.
Hmm. He had a lot of old adages. He's been around a while.
He's been around a while. And apparently he hates the new poker the way it is, with everybody just being mathematical. And he misses people you know, going on feel. And I saw him in an interview the other day. So, you know, I can't say I disagree.
It'd be nice if he had some young adages. They're all old for him.
I think Todd has the young adages in the
film. Oh, okay. All right, very good. All right, well, our hero decides to raise to $10. Now, he said normally he would be doing that, but like I said, I've been raising with almost anything and getting people to fold on 4th and 5th Street. So what do you think about that? The fact that he says that he's getting people to fold on fourth and fifth.
Well, I don't disagree with it there, just because the fact that he's playing the image that they're allowing him to play. So he's just, and no one would ever put him on 6-7 considering what he's been showing down and the image he has. So I don't disagree with that. If he thinks he's going to take it down, but you really want to have a multiple hand in this pot when you're playing suited connectors, and then you want to hit your hand and have nobody put you on it. If you're going heads up with somebody, you know, it's the last thing you want with suited connectors. So I would think that he should just call here, but, you know, I'm not going to fault him for raising either just because of his table image.
Yeah, and it pains me to say this, but I'm going to be on Team Gundam and Team Rant here. Our objective here is not to raise or win this hand. Our objective is to win the most amount of chips.
Yes.
Or put ourselves in the position to win the most amount of chips. So it sounds like what we're trying to do by getting people to fold to fourth is just win the hand.
Yeah.
Whereas with this hand and this table, I'm looking to chip up.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm going to call and hope I flop big and let these guys do the betting for me and hopefully stack one or two or three or four of them.
Yes, we're looking to manage to grow our stack to 800.
Love it. All right, so we're raising $10. The small blind calls, big blind calls, hijack calls, cutoff calls. So what do we know, Chris?
Man, everybody calls. That's $50 in the pot right there.
So, yeah, boom. All right, we're already getting the chips, so we obviously don't know what we're talking about. All right, but does have our hero a little concerned, but not too worried since I've now built a nice starting pot. Should I hit the flop? And, yeah, I guess if I knew everybody was going to call and not raise, then that changes the dynamics a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, no, because now you're definitely in position with a multi-way pot, and a lot of money's in the pot already for your odds, so it turned out nice for him.
All right, the flop comes ace of diamonds, seven of hearts, three of clubs, middle pair, backdoor flush draw.
Yeah.
I guess a weird kind of straight draw, possibly,
yeah,
maybe.
Four or five.
Good yep.
Yeah. You could also hit another seven or six, too. We'll probably give you some outs there, too.
But we're not happy with the ace, I'm sure, with four people in the hand here. Five people actually in the hand.
Yeah,
four opponents.
Four of us, right? Yeah. So.
But the action checks all the way around to us.
Now I wonder if people are adjusting to his image and knowing that he's going to be aggressive. And let him bet and then check raise or not. It's kind of tough. But you know what? You did show strength, and you got to pull the old Barry Greenstein and do the continuation bet, I think. Don't you think?
You know what? Actually, I'm going to check here.
You are going to check?
And maybe it's just because I'm mixing up my play a little bit, but I'm not convinced. I think somebody has an ace here and maybe looking to check raise us. So maybe if it's a loose table, although it's normally check calling, I guess, so... You know, if that's the case, I don't know. I gotta put somebody on an ace here, I think. And I got a piece of it. I mean, I guess it could go either way. But I might just want to check here and see if the hand improves a little bit for me on the flop.
Yeah, I can get on board with that. I can get on board with that.
But I'm not opposed to putting in a bet. It was, what, $50? I don't know, 20, 20, probably 20?
Yeah, maybe 20, 25. I mean, it's probably a week. That's probably a weak bet, and... You're going to get your information pretty quick if you do bet that much. I can agree with the check, too, just because, you know, we're in position and who knows what we turn. You know, you never know what you're going to turn. So there's enough in the pot that a check isn't that bad.
Well, and he also said that these people would like to call and then fold on the river. So I guess my problem with betting here, too, is I'm going to have to fire three barrels.
Yeah.
At this to win. And it seems like a high probability if I could do that, I will win, but at some point people are going to wake up with hands, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when you're five-handed.
Yeah. So, I'm going to check.
Maybe okay, let's go with the party line and check.
All right. Well, our hero bets out $25.
Oh, I can't disagree with that either. So, either way, yeah. Half pot, you know, you took the initiative, you made it look like you had an ace, and an ace comes, how could you not bet it? Is what you know, otherwise it looks like you have kings or something, so... I don't disagree with the bet either, so whatever.
All right, his thinking is that he can get most of them to drop, and he does get the small blind, the big blind to fold, but the hijack and cutoff will call.
Okay.
Three-handed to the turn, pot's about $105, and the turn is the four of diamonds. So we have the ace of diamonds, seven of hearts, three of clubs, four of diamonds. I like this card.
Good God. other than another 7 or a 6, I mean, this gives him the flush draw, this gives him the straight draw, this gives him a pair, you know, he already has a pair. I mean, wow, that's massive. I love that card.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, I guess thinking back to the flop, too, the flop was so uncoordinated, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely.
If these people have been sticking around with draws and don't complete, then it's all the more reason to bet out. So I'm gonna go back and change my thinking on the last one. But regardless of whether I would have bet or called, now this is the kind of card I was hoping for.
Absolutely.
And the hijack checks, but the cutoff will bet into us for $18 now.
18 into a $100 pot? Yeah, that's getting raised. Oh, man. I'm going to make it 45.
45. Yep. All right. I can see that. Though I do want to talk, spend a little time talking about what would make the cutoff all of a sudden come to alive. And when I say come alive, I mean come half dead.
I can only imagine it's the only way I can imagine is ace is up. He turned ace four. You know, he has like ace four clubs or something, and now he's got aces up. Maybe that's the only hand that really could come alive. Or he just didn't believe us and was floating to wait till the turn to come alive with his like ace queen or something. But feels like ace is up now.
But 18's not going to do it. I think you're right. I mean, I can't imagine a guy calling a raise and then a bet with 5-6, which is really the only thing that really improves here, besides two pair, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's no way he's got 5-6.
A set of fours,
and
maybe.
And then calling 20 for a gut shot, 25 for a gut shot, there's no way.
Fours, I don't know. But the 18 is almost ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a $100 pot.
All right, so you're going to raise to 45. I am going to join you on that line. And our hero says, 18? What a weird bet. He's already committed $35 to this pot. The pot is over $100, and he bets 18? How could that four have helped him? Would he have called pre-flop raised with 5-6? Maybe he has diamonds. Why such a small bet? At this point, I think we're probably wasting brain cells trying to figure out the small bet, right?
Yeah, and there's no way he has pocket fours. I mean, if he has pocket fours, how could he have called a $25 bet with an ace and a 7 on the board? Only to hit a 2-outer. I mean, there's just no way. So he doesn't have a set here. He may have a smaller set, like threes. You know, he may have a set of threes, but there's no way he has a set of fours. So that 18 bet is really weird. Maybe he picked up a flush draw, like you said.
Yeah, but you would think you'd... maybe it's a blocking bet of some sort.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is a confusing bet. It could confuse a lot of players. It's confused us.
It's confused him. He was even like, 18!
Yeah, it hasn't confused us enough
not to raise
though. All right, but our hero says I ponder raising him, trying to play to my aggressive table image, but with one player behind, I opt to just call. So I guess it has worked on our hero.
Wow!
If that's in fact the plan of attack here.
Yeah, I mean pot control too. What the hell? You know, it's still a bet. You still only have sevens. You know, this guy has a monster and you raise, and then he comes over the top. Are you gonna call with one card to come? I don't know. So maybe a call's all right there.
All right, well, the hijack, Chris, re-raises all in for his last 50, and the cutoff insta-calls, leaving about 100 behind, back to us.
Oh, my God.
What have we stepped into?
Oh, man. Well, here's the thing, is now I'm wondering if our diamonds are good.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not good, then all we really have is a pair of sevens and hopefully it is six. So I don't know. Maybe we get away from it now. Maybe we're lucky we only called the 18.
This is a big reason I don't like to play in the loose games. They take all the poker out of it.
Well, let's talk about the hijack then. He check and then raised all in. You know, so obviously these people are playing against our style now because there's no way this guy checks and missing a bet if he has a monster. So especially he knows that we're aggressive and we're going to bet all the time. Now the other guy bets, which he probably wasn't even expecting, and then gets us to call. Now he's happy as hell, and he shoves. Now there's a ton of money in the pot now, and $50 is nothing. So, and then the other guy insta-calls. I think I got to get away from it now. I mean, my diamonds probably are not good here if I hit him.
I think, right.
You know, that guy who shoved could have diamonds.
I think we're behind it, and we don't have a lot of cards to help us.
Yeah, I think I got to fold here and just lick my wounds and try to manage to build my stack back up again.
And we only put $18 in on the turn, so.
Yeah. I mean, we've lost 28, and so we lost $53 on this hand, but it's better than losing another 100.
Yeah. All right. Well, our hero says, I know I should fold here, but the way that you guys have played, I really feel if I hit the river, I can take this pot. I'm still up for this session. This will be a nice addition to a growing stack and calls. Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously he calls because it's hand of the week. So I don't know. I just think I can get away from it here. I probably, if you really think about it, I just, even if they are good, I don't feel like the diamonds are an out for us now. But if they are good, that's just bonus, but you never really know. And if they're not good for you, you don't have enough odds to call for hitting a 7 or a 6. You know, and even your 7 might not be good if somebody's got a set. So, I'm bowing out.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not really doing all the calculations here, but there's only $100 left on the table that we can get too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the river is the 7 of spades. So our final board is the ace of diamonds, 7 of hearts, 3 of clubs, 4 of diamonds, 7 of spades. Get our trip. And the cutoff bet's $42.
$42?
Yeah, it has. And our hero says another weird bet.
Feels like pocket threes now. Oh, man. It could be A7, too. But I feel like it's pocket threes. And but, you know, I mean, you know, if you go back a street, $50, and you put 18, it's only 32 more to win what would probably be almost 200 there. So, I don't know. Maybe I did call on the turn if I was in that hand. You know, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I did call, and but not because the 7 came, just because, you know, it's only 32. You know, who knows? But I don't like to back. I don't like to hedge my bets like that. But I just feel like maybe I would have called if I was in that situation with all that money in front of me. Just
well,
$32.
You know, I guess another thing to think of too, if this guy is betting 18 into the turn bet, and just calls when it gets re-raised. We could probably deduce that he's probably not going to put in a very large bet on the river.
Yeah.
And we could see, we kick the showdown fairly cheap, particularly if we improve like we have here. So, yeah.
Well, let's get back to where we actually are, though.
Wouldn't that be great if in poker we could tell a dealer, hey, wait a minute. I've thought a little bit more about this hand, and I want to change my action on the last street.
Well, let's go back to actually where we are, though. $40 to win like $250 or something,
yeah.
And I have 3 7s. I'm just calling, and it makes no difference either way. I mean, $40 either way isn't going to make my night or break it, but $250 will. So, I've got since he called, he's got $75, $80. He's got almost $100 invested already. So, I have no problem just calling with 3 7s and watching him turn over his boat and going home. Licking my wounds.
Licking your wounds. All right, well, our hero says he should fold his trips, as he's probably a bit beat. But he, as he mentioned, these guys have been going to showdown with small pairs, bottom two pairs. So trips might actually be the best hand. He calls and then regrets it incidentally, blaming his loose play on too many PBRs. Come on, don't blame the Pabst. Pabst is there to make your life better, not worse. Shows our trips. Cutoff flips over. 4 of clubs. 5 of clubs.
Oh, my God.
Capital H-U-H question mark.
Jeez. Who was that? The cutoff?
Cutoff, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And so we take down the side pot. Hijack flips over. Ace of spades. Tray of spades. For weak 2 pair.
Wow.
Take down the whole thing. We get yelled at by the losers that I'm too loose. How can I call that?
Wow. So he takes the whole thing down with 3 7s. I can't believe it. Obviously, there's no way we put somebody on 4 5. That's just impossible. And he calls all that money with, well, I guess he had a double belly buster because he could have hit a deuce or a 6 for, but he called a raise preflop with 4 5.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, we can't justify the action before then, but it did turn out to be a little blocking bet.
Wow.
Turned out to be a worthless one, but
that's crazy, man. That is crazy. You want them in your home game, that's for sure. Well, hey, you won a big pot, you know, and it looks like you're going to win some more stuff, too. So congrats to Mike, who is or is not from Chicago.
Well, yeah, and before we get to that, too, I'm curious that the dude with the ace tray, he had, $75? And that flop comes, and the pot was 105 at that point? No, no, it was 50.
No, it was 50 at that point.
Yep.
Then he calls a 25, probably hoping to double up.
Doesn't check raise. Why wouldn't you check raise at that point? Just try to get it done with.
Well, I mean, he's only got 75, so it's going to get all in there anyway. He's probably hoping to get tripled up rather than scaring somebody out and only getting the pot that's there.
I guess.
I think. I mean, that's the only way I could think of it going down.
Whew. Very weird players. All right. Well, Chicago Mike, we appreciate you sending the hand of the weekend. We are going to send you a quality T-shirt from the great ladies at PMS Pokerwear, which sells hilarious shirts for gals and guys at PMSPokerWear.com. Did I just get that right?
You did. I can't believe you actually reverted back to it. You did say men and women, but you didn't.
I didn't miss it.
Gals and guys.
Wow.
Good
See,
job.
That's why you take vacations, boys and girls. Clear the mind, come back, and the only thing you mess up is monumental.
Well, if you want me and Scott to pretty much just ruin your hand of the week, you too can send it in to podcast@antiupmagazine.com. And, I don't know, Scott, I think we played that all right.
Well, we'll see what the forum says. Certainly Chicago Mike did. He got a lot of money out of it, so.
Well, I want to thank John Dolan for waking up and answering his phone when I called him. And I want to thank Grinder for answering the phone when he was in the car. And I want to thank John Reisner for being on Skype at the same time as me. It was a nice little interview and a good little show, and I'm looking forward to watching them go for it all in November. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the tables.
Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.
Yeah, guys were asking me last night, where's Scott? Where's Scott? I said, he's busy getting his hair braided and drinking some rum. They're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, he's on his way home from Jamaica. And they're like, oh my God, he played last week, though. He said this was his game. I said, I wish he was playing for me because I hate this game. I had Faso on my right.
Did you?
Yeah, I had aces and rays, and some other guy called me, and I don't know, I flopped like two pair or something. I drew two pair, and then the guy boats up drawing three.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Boats up drawing three.
So, I was short stacked anyway. Even if he didn't, I was shoving anyway, and, you know, whatever. So, yeah, you know, and last night I'm like, all right, I'm going to get my $5 back, you know. And I start playing stud eight at micro limits, and, you know, I lose like, I don't know, like $3 or $4. I'm like, what the hell? I never lose this game at this limit, you know? Let me move up in limits, you know? So I play like 1-2, 1-2, which is not micro on there. And I lose like $6 more, and I'm like, all right, let me play some no limit. I'll get my money back, you know? So I play no limit, and I lose like I don't know, like $18 or something. I'm like, let me play higher no limit. So I get it all in with a pair against Ace King and double up, and I'm like, yes. Then I go back and play 1-2 stud eight again, working my way backwards, you know. And then I won all my money back, and then won the $5. I actually broke even last night. Jean's sitting next to me watching me play, and she's like, oh my God. I'm like, I know. I always have to lose first to win poker for some reason. I don't know what it is, but so I got my $5 back. All right, I was all happy. took me like a real roundabout lose $30 first to get your $5 back way, but I did it again. I can't believe it.
Yeah, it killed me not being able to play. I really did want to play that one. Of course, I'm home for like the no limit ones, which I could give a shit about.